I am one. The 29th of April, 1954, to the 28th of April, 1955. Over. Sound is the True Anarchist by Astrid Bin. It was in the middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday, and I was lying in my cot, temporarily relieved of adult attention under the guise of napping. I was not asleep. I wasn't even tired. Like all babies, I spent a lot of time listening because I couldn't yet talk. Part of developing human senses is developing an astonishing filtration system. Our ears develop ways to ignore the hum of the Hoover while watching TV. Our skin ceases to notice the texture of our trousers. Our eyes adjust and lights are no longer so dazzling. Part of this is a sophisticated survival tactic. Who would ever eat again if every taste and texture was astonishing as the first time we experienced it? But my ears would never get the message. They never could after that afternoon. The light came in from a partially open window, a sweet summer breeze making the curtains gently inhale and exhale. There was the sound of the fabric billowing, then gently coming to rest against the wallpaper. I probably breathed along with it. I still like doing that. Each time the curtains took a deep breath, I could hear the sound of the leaves on the tree outside gently shivering, like when you get into a bath that's just slightly too cold. I still like doing that too. A muffled crackle dented the billowy sound of the curtains as somewhere in the house someone switched on a radio. Loud, then quickly quiet, as whoever it was confronted by dinner time volume and not sleeping baby volume. Voices appeared, one after another, interleaved with faint hissing, as if there were many tiny people suddenly talking and then disappearing until one voice remained. I like to think it was Hank Williams singing "Your Cheating Heart." But I didn't know that it was just a voice that was stretchy yet rough, like the side of the cheese grater I had pulled out of the cupboard just the day before and balanced on my unsteady shelf of fiddle and slide guitar. I didn't know what any of those things were either, but my legs moved with the sound for some reason, and I found myself kicking a bare foot against a wooden bar for a while until something went click and the voice disappeared. I was suddenly more alone than before. I looked up at the bars, idly considering an escape attempt. But this was thwarted by the weight of my own head and the effects of gravity. I have often wondered since if this is the true key to human survival, that as babies we're glued to the ground under the weight of our own heads and can't do much about escaping. These first few years I spent glued to a bed because of the force of gravity, and this would become a trend, has always trumped my force of will, and to this day it made me a captive audience for every sound. My other senses were there, of course, but it seems that while gravity does the job of making sure the body of the child can't escape, the baby goods industry has a similar effect on the barely alive plastic baby mind. We start off surrounded by muted colours, soft fabrics, soft surfaces, soft food. Every human's first year is as disorientating, exhausting and boring as trying to find your way out of an endless maze of white fleece blankets, But designers of baby goods in the 20th century took this to an entirely new level. Soft, 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 monotonous textures, zero contrast, blandness, dullness, blunting senses that might become highly attuned. Maybe that's the point. Actually, I'm sure that was the point. But back to that day, no escape, nothing to look at, not much to feel. Hank's bumpy diversion was already gone, and I was left alone, just with the sound of the leaves and the curtains, and I'd heard those already. My ears were searching for something else to hear when it happened. I can't tell you what it was. I think it was a machine of some kind. Maybe it was an accident somewhere. Maybe it was a lot simpler than that. But there was a big sound, the biggest I'd ever heard, so big that I felt the cot move. My limbs were tense. The curtains gusted into the room a bit as we took a sharp intake of breath together. It was over as soon as it had appeared, and the curtains drifted back as they slowly calmed down. It was like all the sounds I'd ever heard, but louder and all at once. I wanted to hear it again. I still want to hear it again. It turns out that with all the obsession over making sure babies are always feeling, eating, hearing, or looking at something soft, sound finds a way. It can come from anywhere, at any time, and do whatever it wants. Maybe this moment sticks with me, not because it's my first memory, not because it's my first memory of sound, but maybe because it's my first memory of anarchy. Sound is the true anarchist. People hate big, ugly sounds the same way they hate big, ugly animals or big, ugly buildings or big, ugly people. But sound doesn't have to care much about the constraints and limitations of the physical world. It can come into existence anywhere and then immediately disappear. Like all the best magicians and all the best criminals. People hate being surprised by big, ugly sounds. They'd probably say it's because big, ugly sounds are sudden, jarring, and out of control. But what I remember the most about that sound is that it wasn't out of control. It was beyond control. It had snuck into my soft world, shat on the bed, smashed the window, and it was gone. Like all babies, I spent a lot of time listening because I couldn't yet talk. Unlike all babies, this made me continue listening even after I learned to talk.
Under Hungry for Ice Cream by Vas Little Crow Vojtanovich. I am learning to speak. The more words come out of my mouth, the more I'm starting to forget who I am, who I was, and who I always will be. I must not forget that I am. I scream, I am. But it is futile. The words come out as Mamma. Perhaps it is appropriate, for I am a part of her. Mum feeds me from the life that is embedded in me. Her name begins with Ma. What does that mean? I've already forgotten. I must dedicate my life to never forgetting the world before I entered the world of light and shadow. What was it again? I forgot. I often wonder whether I am a metaphor. What are metaphors but a vocabulary, a type of word? Words create all, for nothing exists without the description. If Egypt had not mined lapis lazuli or created indigo dyes, blue would not exist. Blue would not be an emotion. Blue would not be a colour. Blue would be empty expanse, were it not for the word. This blue plush bunny amuses me, but I digress. The word is wisdom. How do I know this? My eyes can see, and people like to use this word, blue. How did I know about Egypt? I forget. I think I just forgot Egypt too. I'm just going to focus on what it is to look at blue in this book my dad is showing me. I often wonder whether the gift of Sophia is truly desirable as I go through the agonizing misery that is theosis, in the vain hope that I can communicate the theophany I have seen. The owl of wisdom flies away as she slips from my fingers, wondering whether theoria and midenismos are one and the same. Is that really the piece of phi I want to devour? I ask myself that, as if it weren't already too late. Pi delights me. I like the feel of it against my hands. It's fun to smash. I rub its fruity entrail against my face. I love the taste of pie. People are laughing. What was I supposed to remember again about phi? I utter the word aloud. The elders tell me to say pie. Or is it pie? I'm forgetting how to spell. I will have to learn this all over again. Frustrating. The material world is nothing but dust. Dust is the canvas of creation. I love playing in it. Mum scolded me for doing so. Can't she see the greatness of dust? She sweeps it up and throws it away. So I suppose not. Some insufferably boring elder human is yammering about something that he does not understand, yet I suspect he indulges in. Sin. It is neither good nor evil. Sin is nothing more than a set of poorly pointed arrows hitting every damn thing except the perfect center of the target. Sometimes the arrows hit close. Sometimes the arrows are off the mark. Humanity is no Artemis. It's more like a clown. Or perhaps we're just a bunch of Nimrods, in every sense of the name. Sometimes we dream of our potential and bemoan our inability to reach it. Sometimes we do reach our potential and lust for even greater heights. Sometimes we see that potential in lives outside of our own and crave it. Sometimes we compete with ourselves. But why compete when we can collaborate and share? Why be vain when we can assess? Humility is no virtue, if it's a poisonously competitive vanity in disguise. It's best not to self-congratulate just because I fancy myself as humble. Learning to speak with the flesh tongue is not something worth celebration. It's simply a duty in this plane. May I never be vain enough to call myself humble or good in this plane. I covet the elder human's ability to speak in complete sentences. I want to be able to do this before I forget everything, but it is futile. I will have to spend the rest of my life rediscovering the obvious. Will I become a human elder someday? What a terrifying thought that is. Never believe your own press releases or clever memes that you spawn. I can never forget this. Propaganda that benefits you is still propaganda with the power to simplify, brainwash, infect, and destroy. Just as apathy can be genuine exhaustion from our inner battles, apathy can also be a lie that we tell ourselves to convince ourselves that we can avoid the inevitable. I've convinced myself that my glory days are gone as I wear this soiled nappy. I am too vain and proud to admit that I've given up. My self-pity, disguised as humility, has been exposed. The reality is that my glory days are indeed gone. I'm no longer the contents of a cosmic explosion. I'm now only human, inevitably inching towards mortality. Then again, it is dead stars that give birth to new galaxies. I guess for now, I'll consider myself a new galaxy made of meat, trying to remember what it is to wear proper briefs. I would rather cry over the swirling galactic madness than spill milk from the spittle of my bottle, soon to become a glass. I will gently float on the golden ratio within the milk of life. The elders talk of gods, but I only see one. Creation describes all we see around us. The Creator comes in countless variations, each describing a new facet of existence. Entire libraries are written by that sovereign power. The Creator governs reason, and it is also a well-placed kick. It's also a cosmic joker and a lunatic pain in the arse. I commit the shocking crime of thanking creation for inflicting itself upon me. I am grateful for your enmity, true creative self, and the ability to understand what I need on a fundamental level. I scream glory to the I am, however you interpret that, especially when I am hungry for ice cream.